It was this country town that I pulled into a gas station just to get some sleep, man. I'd been up for 3 days at that point. I wanted to finish up this journey. And I was woken up at 9 a.m. to three really loud bangs on the windshield and the car door opening, a stranger's hand reaching in, pulling me out of the car, putting me in handcuffs, and taking me to jail.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. Nate Jukes is living proof that no matter how bad you think you are or how bad things get, you can get through the darkness. Even when the story you have heard all your life is you'll never change, he is here to tell you it is a lie. You can change, and you can become the person you want to be. This conversation is a revealing insight into how a devastating self-image can lead to misery and disastrous life choices. It's fully packed with inspiring wisdom. Nate Jukes is a relatively youthful guest for this show. However, he has had a journey, and that transition is worth sharing. It is a story of recovery and rebirth. Nate's parents were young, in his words, kids raising kids, and they passed on their unhealthy mindsets, which meant money was tight, and he grew up with the idea there was never enough to go around. Fortunately, the local church community recognized their struggle and rallied around to support them. But sitting in church, Nate always felt like God was watching and waiting for him to mess up. He believed that if he did, God would punish him. At 18, he went away to college and discovered the party scene, drugs and alcohol, and after 4 years he returned home without a degree, but with a habit. A chance opportunity came up to take over a bar with a friend, and over the next 2 years they turned this failing bar into a successful business, and throughout this time his drink and drug problem had not diminished. And with the success of the bar and money coming in, he added gambling to the list. It did not take long before he was embezzling from the bar to feed his problems. The story spirals down to the point where Nate, at his lowest point, steals a car in an attempt to start a new life on the other side of the country. Needless to say, he was caught, arrested, and spent some time inside. But this is a journey of recovery and rebirth. His mind was opened to the world of personal development and the work of John Maxwell. He got enrolled into Narcotics Anonymous. He didn't believe in himself, but other people did, and they supported him. As he says, "I met people who would speak life into me." Our conversation is about a change of mindset, a recovery to the infinite possibility that is the future. Today, Nate is off the drugs, he is married, and living a life he never thought was possible. He's a published author with the book You Will Never Change. He speaks on stage to inspire and offers coaching to support others on the journey. As he says, who we were is not who we are. The decisions that you have made don't determine who you are as a human being. This is a fantastic conversation. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. I am delighted today to be talking with Nate Jukes. Now, I know he's an author, he's a speaker, and he has a bit of a checkered history, a checkered past, which we're going to explore. But I know he's a hope dealer now, and so I'm not sure what he used to deal before, but I'm sure we'll find out more about it. So welcome to the program. Thank you for taking the time to be with me today.
Hey, thank you so much, Paul. I love this show. I love what you are doing. This is a great space for some much needed conversation.
It is. And you know, I'm finding it's a conversation about midlife, really. It's about that transition point in life. And we have several transition points in life, I think. But there's also that big one at my age. So, I mean, I know you're somewhat younger than I am.
A little bit.
Yeah, quite a lot younger than I am, I think. Because I'm looking at 60, buddy. You're not looking at 60.
Yeah, 32.
And if you are looking at 60 now, I want to know your secret because you look a lot younger. That's right. No, but seriously, I think these conversations are important because I think when people understand what they want in life and what they're about, magic starts to happen.
Absolutely.
But I appreciate there has to be a journey to get there. So Nate, what was your journey? Because I know it started in a bit of a dark place or a bit of a dodgy place for you somewhat.
Yes. So right now I just got married to the love of my life.
Yeah.
We bought our first investment property. I get to lead hundreds of volunteers at my local church. For the last 18 months, I've been working on this project, this book that I've been writing, but that I know that's kind of like a highlight reel of my life. My life definitely didn't start there. It actually started when I was a poor kid growing up. My parents, they were really kids trying to raise kids, and some of their unhealthy mindsets were passed down to us. And I don't blame them for anything. Yeah.
There are no qualifications of being a parent, are there? Yeah, no. And everyone can be a parent, and then you start to discover what parenting's all about.
Well, yeah, and they were doing the best they could with what they have. What they had was some broken mindsets, but and so that developed some financial insecurity in our lives. And so growing up, we always knew that there wasn't enough to go around, or at least that's the way it always felt. And this one time, my mom came up to us. It was right around Christmas time, and she said, "Hey guys, I want you to know, don't expect too many presents around the Christmas tree this year." And that's always tough as a kid growing up. You never really want to hear that. But there was this awesome church that came and they helped my mom out, and they bought her gifts for us. And that was great. And we started going to the church. And even though they were really great people, I always felt like, man, God was watching me and he was waiting for me to mess up. And as soon as I did, he was going to punish me. Mm. And then when I went away to college at age 18 for the very first time, man, I felt like nobody was watching me in my life. And that's when my life really started to take a step downward. And the reason was I was trying to escape the chaos of my childhood, but instead of trying to better myself at school, I actually ended up finding myself being drawn to the party scene. And so that's when I was first introduced to alcohol and then drugs. And then I was trying to compete that with my studies. And in order to try and take tests, I started taking prescription ADD medication, and that led to harder and harder drugs. And all of a sudden, what was started out as just a weekend experience turned into a full blown drug addiction. And even though it felt really fun in the moment, there are things in life that feel good right now, but that doesn't mean that they're always good for your future. And that's what I was starting to experience for the very first time. And so after 4 years, I came nowhere close to getting a degree. And so I had to move back in with my mom and dad, and which, by the way, that's the real walk of shame, having to move back in with your parents. And so I moved back in with my parents, and through a series of events, I actually got the opportunity to open up a bar in downtown Youngstown with a buddy of mine. He approached me and said, "Hey, I have this idea for a business. I see a chance for us to make some money." And so I jumped in with both feet, and we took what was failing in the beginning and turned it into something that was very successful over the course of about 2 years. And so now I have access to more money than I'd ever seen in my entire life. Now, this wasn't a life-changing amount of money. But you just got to understand, being the poor kid growing up, to me, this felt like a lot. And so now all of a sudden I have the right apartment. I've got the right car. I have a social circle that I would have never had access to before. And I thought all of this stuff was going to make me happy. And you know what I found? Is that, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, if you weren't happy before, I mean, you know, you're going to be, if you're unhappy before you have money, you're going to be unhappy when you got it.
Yeah, it's a catalyst. So if you're a terrible person without money, you're going to just have, when you get it, you're just going to have more money to be terrible
it
with.
It is. It's just fuel for the fire, isn't it?
Really? That's right. And so I actually found I was very empty on the inside. And so I started to try and find things to fill that void that was inside of me. And this is where my drug addiction started to ramp up. But I also started going to the casinos and chasing the gambling high. And all of a sudden I found myself going there more and more and more.
So were you a high functioning narcotics?
Yeah. Yeah, so my drug of choice were uppers. I would take prescription medications, and then I would always try and find like the right combination of pain pills to help and anxiety pills to help like balance me out. If I could just get the right mixture, the right cocktail, then I would be able to operate the way that I wanted to. And I never found out that secret ingredient. I just found out how to really mess my life up. And so now I'm hyper focused, but I'm trying to sleep at night, and I'm not sleeping for days at on end. And now here I am making decisions that I never thought I would make before, because I'm going to the casino night after night, and I've developed this gambling addiction. And over the course of a year, I end up draining all of the money in my personal bank accounts. But even though my personal accounts were empty, the business bank accounts were full. And so that's when I started taking money a little bit at a time to really fund my drug and gambling addiction. And I guess at the time I thought to myself, well, geez, I'm the business owner anyways. Isn't this my money? Well, here's the thing. You can't take business money and use it for personal endeavors. That's actually called embezzlement. And so here I was taking money from this business, and we had about 20 employees who worked for us. And man, they worked really hard to pay their bills, to put food on the table for their families. And my partner came up to me. It was a Friday, it was payday, and he said, "It's time to cut the payroll checks." And I just kind of came clean to him in that moment and said, "Listen, if we write these checks, there's not going to be enough money in the accounts to cover them." And you could see the confused look on his face. He didn't really understand what was going on. And then things finally started to catch up, and he realized that I had taken the payroll money the night before and I had gambled it all away. And so he gives me an ultimatum at that point. It's a super low moment for me. And he says, "You can either sign everything over to me or walk away from this business free and clear." So at 26 years old, I moved back in with mom and dad again. I didn't know who I was. My identity was wrapped up being a business owner.
Did you
And then
sign
when
it
that
up?
was
Did you
taken away,
sign it over to him?
oh yeah, I walked away from it, all of it.
Okay. Okay.
Essentially, my life's work up to that point, I had just walking away from. There's a piece of my soul I put into that place.
Yeah.
And but I had also done some serious damage to it. So it
You
was best for me to walk away.
effectively spent it at the casino already, hadn't you? Really, I mean,
Absolutely. Yeah, I did. And
ouch.
so now I'm trying to figure out who I am, and I can barely hold down a job. And every time I'd get a job, I would revert back to what I knew, because I was still dealing with these addictions. So I'd steal from the cash register, I'd get caught, and then I'd get fired. And this happened three different times. And finally, the last time, I was walking around my parents' apartment complex. I'd just gotten fired. I'd taken a handful of pills. It was getting late at night, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning now. And I'm walking around the apartment complex looking for different vehicles that might be unlocked to find anything that I could, man, get my hands on or sell just to generate some money for this addiction that I have. And I ended up opening the car door to a 1999 Buick LeSabre. And as I lifted up the center console, I actually pulled out the spare keys to the car, because apparently that's where you keep the spare keys to a 99 Buick LeSabre. But I guess in my mind, I thought to myself, maybe this is a chance to run away from my problems. And if I take this car, and maybe can I start my life over? Because I didn't have a vehicle at that point. And I had this buddy in Houston, Texas, that said, "If you ever find a way to get down here, man, I'll help you start your life over." And that's all the way across the country for me. You know, when you find yourself in the wrong place with the wrong headspace, you never know what is possible. And I didn't wake up that morning thinking I was going to steal that car. But when you find yourself in a really tough spot where you have two really bad decisions in front of you, oftentimes you go towards the one that feels less painful. But that one that feels less painful takes you down to a darker and deeper path that you have to make more decisions. And so here I am making this decision to steal this car and drive it across the country. So I packed up 5 garbage bags of clothes. I threw them in the back, and I headed for Texas. I got about halfway right outside a small town of Nashville, Tennessee. It was this country town that I pulled into a gas station just to get some sleep, man. I'd been up for 3 days at that point. I
Yeah.
wanted to finish up this journey. And I was woken up at 9 a.m. to 3 really loud bangs on the windshield and the car door opening, a stranger's hand reaching in, pulling me out of the car, putting me in handcuffs, and taking me to jail. And as I was in that cop car in the back, the weight of every decision that I had ever made sat on my chest like a ton of bricks. And I kept hearing this thought over and over in my head. It was a thought that teachers had told me, that ex-girlfriends had told me, but oftentimes the loudest voices are the ones that are in our own head. And it just kept saying, "You'll never change. This is who you are. This is your life now. You're never going to change." And as I went to jail, you know what I found is that that was a really good time for me to get my head clean, to figure some things out, and ask myself this question: who do I ultimately want to become? Because I had made some really poor choices. And so they gave me a felony theft over $1,000 because you're not allowed to steal cars and drive them across the country. And they let me go home. They gave me 2 years of probation after 6 months of being in jail.
Sorry, I explain that to me again. So you obviously were convicted because you did the deal. There was no getting away with
I did it.
You did it. Yeah, you're in the car. Caught you. Wasn't me. Yeah, it was. So what did they, I mean, it was a first offense, I guess?
Yeah, so it was my first felony that I'd ever gotten.
But did they know of your drug addiction?
So they didn't at the time. Okay. Yeah, they had no idea that I was dealing with drugs. They actually didn't find any, which was really great for me because then I would have drug charges on top of it. But they gave me a felony, which is anytime you steal more than $1,000, it's considered a felony. And so the car's value was worth more than $1,000. Not much more, but it was worth more than that. And they gave me 2 years of probation and said, right, don't get in trouble for 2 years. Okay. Check in with us every single month.
Okay.
And so they actually allowed me to come back home to Ohio, which was really great. And when I got home, man, I got some connected with some people who, even though I was a mess, were willing to get messy with me. And I started to really fall in love with personal development. And I started reading books. And one of them was by John Maxwell. And he said, if you want your world to change, you've got to be the one that changes first. And man, that really spoke to me. And so I went on this self-discovering journey of how do I start to make some changes in my life? What belief systems do I need to change? What habits do I need to start to change? And man, I started to work on my relationship with myself. And over the last several years, my life has begun to look very different than what it used. So I told you, I showed you my highlight reel. But it's not because I'm so good now, but it's really because I believe that I have a God's hand on my life. There's grace. I'm not just chasing success anymore, but I'm moving towards fulfillment. And that process, it took me a while to get to where I'm at now. And one of the great joys of my life is helping other people make their comeback. So that's the long version of to answer your question.
What was the organization? Was it an organization you got involved with that helped you out?
Yeah. So in the beginning, I got involved with an NA program. So that was my fellowship. That was my community. And from there, I got connected with this really great church. And this church, man, I was a mess of a person, man, but they were willing to get knees deep with me. And I'm so thankful that I had people in my life who were willing to speak life into me and give me the hard truths at times. You know, they say that you are the sum total of the five people that you do life with. So that's what psychology will say. You'll make the average decisions of the five average people around you. And science will say that you'll make the average amount of money as the five people that you do life with. And so knowing that, I have to take a personal responsibility and say, do I like the circle of people that I have found myself in? Mm-hmm. Do I like the direction their life is going? Do I like the fruit of their life? Because if I don't, man, am I willing to say, maybe I'm not going to give you complete access to that. And so I knew that this is tough because when you start to talk about this, people will say, well, Nate, are you telling me I need to give up on my friends? I need to walk away from some people? And for some of us who are trying to make our comeback, absolutely. Yes.
If there are people that will lead you back down the path where you've gone, then you do need to move away. Absolutely.
And it is okay to say no to a toxic relationship, a toxic friendship, one that is not taking you ultimately towards where you want to go. And it's not saying I give up on people and I hate people. It's just saying I don't give you complete access to my life. My time is valuable. Who I spend my circle with is important to me. And so I'm going to be willing to protect that at all costs. And so for me, when I got around some people that were willing to mentor me, and a good mentor will always take you to places that you need to go, but maybe at the time you don't really want to go. And they started to poke on different areas of my life, and they started to peel back some of the things, the trauma that I still needed to heal from, and really guided me through that. And you know what I found is that the most important relationship that I have in life is my relationship with God. But beyond that, I have this relationship with me that's so very important. And when I was, because I had to understand that, man, God loved me, but man, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I really loved myself at that time. And so I had to sit down with myself. And this is a little strange to me at first, but I really got to sit down with a past version of myself and then a present version of myself and a future version of myself. I had a conversation with me because things weren't right with us. And we needed to talk this out. We needed to figure, you know, Tim Ferriss says that everything that we want in life is on the other side of an uncomfortable conversation. And so I was willing to have some uncomfortable conversations with me. And so I looked at past Nate, and I mean, I started to break down a little bit, and I was frustrated at him, and I was mad, and I was hurt, and I didn't like who he was, and I hated him. But I looked at him and I said, even though you've messed up our life, I still love you and I forgive you. Mm. And that forgiveness is really what started to set me free. And I can't help but wonder what some of our lives would look like if we took it easy on ourselves, man. Understand that you're a human being and you do have some flaws, and that's okay. And it's okay to be broken, and it's okay to make some mistakes. Just because you've made some mistakes, it doesn't mean that you are one. And I started to forgive myself, and unforgiveness is a prison that we keep ourselves in. And so I just set myself free in that moment. It was a very healing and touching moment for me. And then I looked at present Nate, and I said, I know that you have made some changes in your life that other people have not seen yet. And that's okay. But I see the changes in you, and I believe in you, and you can do this. And I started to coach myself and encourage myself. And then I looked at future Nate, and I said, whatever it takes to give you the life that you deserve, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to start over. I'm willing to be at the bottom. I'm willing to build my life back brick by brick. I'm willing to pivot. I'm willing to make amends. I'm willing to do the work. And now the relationship with myself is beautiful because I've started to build trust with myself. Have you ever had a friend who comes up to you and tells you their dreams, their goals, their vision, but in the back of your head, you're thinking to yourself, man, that ain't never going to happen. It's because you don't have enough trust built up with that. You don't believe what they're going to say. And so now my relationship with myself is so strong. I have so much trust that I believe me when I say something. I pride myself that I do hard things, and I love myself. And out of that, I've started to make some new decisions for my life because of the relationship that I have with me.
You certainly are a powerful, a powerful man. I can certainly hear that passion and power in your voice about it. Going back a little bit, what did you want to be when you were a child? What did little Nate want?
I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. I wanted to be famous.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah. You know, when I was in college one time, I tried to be a stand-up comedian, and I failed miserably. And I got up there and I wasn't funny. I just thought because I could be funny around my friends that I could, it didn't translate. I wasn't good at creating the punchlines or understanding timing of the joke. I just thought I would get up there. And, you know, I'm actually really proud of myself for trying, though.
Yeah, I think you are. But end of the day, you know, it takes practice. You have to learn to do this sort of stuff. Like anything else, it takes practice. But it's interesting how you wanted to be that, and how you wanted that journey. And you tried, as you said, you did try. Mm-hmm. I love this thing about you talking about your past, present, and future, because that's the thing that people forget. You know, they look at their past and think their future is dictated by that past. Mm.
Yeah, who you were,
yeah,
is not who you are. The decisions that you've made don't determine who you are as a human being.
I mean, they can influence how people affect and those aspects of it, but you can move beyond them. And the John Maxwell material you were talking about is excellent material, because I've heard other people talk about it.
Yeah, it's super powerful stuff. And the big question that I get all the time that people ask me is Nate, how do I start making my comeback? And I always tell people, I said, you have to have a vision for your life if you're ever going to go there. You have to know where you're going to get somewhere. And the reason why I say this is because when you ask people, you know, what do you want your life to look like? Oftentimes they'll give you very generic answers. I want to be happy. I want my kids to be okay. I just want my bills paid, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't start to take some ownership of the direction of your life, somebody will always be there to tell you where to go. I explain it like this. Like, if you want to go fly on an airplane right now, you can go to the airport and they will sell you a ticket. But is it anywhere that you actually want to go? So when we start to take some ownership and we get very clear about the direction of our life, what kind of impact do we want to make? What kind of relationships do we want to have? What kind of job do I want to work at? What kind of resources do I want available to me? What kind of success do I want to have? But what kind of fulfillment do I want to experience? How much love do I want to be able to give? Like being very specific about our future. Now it gives us a target to start to shoot for. And for some of us, man, this is actually the chance to dream again a little bit. Maybe some dreams have gone dormant in your life and we look at our situation and say, I don't see how that's even possible. Let's not worry so much about the how. Let's start to focus on the what and let the how figure itself out. It'll work its way out, but we need to have a baseline of somewhere to move towards. And then once you have a vision, a very clear vision, a direction that you want to go, now you have to add in your decisions. Contrary to popular belief, what you do, it matters. And so you have to start to make the right choices, and small choices, little by little, equal massive results over a long period of time. And so you have your vision, you add in your decisions, and then this is the hardest part. You have to multiply it by time. Wait is the hardest four-letter word that any of us ever want to hear, but this is a process that you need to work out. And it's easy to look at somebody else and they're shiny and they're success and they have a finished product. But behind every product is a process that you have to go through. And through that process, a lot of your potential starts to get pulled out of you. And so you have to have a vision, a clear vision. You have to start making the right decisions. And for me, that's when things started to change. But then you have to multiply it by time. And then you'll look back in your life a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road and say, I don't even recognize the person that I was. And there was no big thing that happened, but my life is just very different now.
Well, as you say, change doesn't happen overnight. You don't become a marathon. You don't run a marathon tomorrow. You run a marathon in 3 months' time when you've done the training to get there, because you ain't going to achieve it tomorrow. And that's right. As you say, life, where you are now, took a while to get to. The years that took you to get to that perspective, you ain't going to change tomorrow. You've got to put a bit of time in. So it's fascinating, this stuff, isn't it? And what you're saying about people changing, 90% of people I hear put no effort into how their life is going to happen. They just literally just follow the path. And there's nothing, as you say, nothing wrong with that. That's just the choice, isn't it? Just the choice. Then that's one of the reasons this podcast started, because my father followed the path.
Yeah. And so for me, I just want to take some clear ownership. I want to I want to be the captain of my own ship. And ultimately what that means is that, man, I'm going to make some mistakes along the way. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to get some bumps and scrapes and bruises. But also I have the chance and the opportunity to live a very fulfilling life, and not just a happy life, because happiness is, it's fleeting and it comes and it goes and it's so circumstantial, right? Like things will come into my life and, man, I'll feel happy for a moment, but that doesn't sustain me. And I found is that happiness comes from when I get, what I can get, what do I have? How much success have I generated? What am I doing? And then, but Tony Robbins says, you know, success without fulfillment actually equals failure. And so what does fulfillment look like? Well, for me, it looks like, man, giving back, helping other people in their life, helping people make their comeback and giving more than I'm taking. Man, it feels so good to be a part of somebody's solution instead of being a part of their problem. And so for me, I want impact now. I want fulfillment, but I hope that you chase your dreams. I hope you have goals and I hope you accomplish everything you want in your life. But man, I also hope you find fulfillment along the way too.
Which is the success question, because this podcast has five basic questions. You've sort of answered success, but what say more about success for you now? Because
obviously, absolutely. Listen, I want to generate income in my life and resources so that I can be able to provide and make it a bigger impact. I mean, we talked about in the beginning, money amplifies whatever it is that you are. Mm. And so for me, I am I'm a person who is very happy with helping others. And so I want to amplify that impact by being more successful. But for me, I learned along the way that if you're just chasing the money, you're ultimately going to burn out. You're ultimately going to get there and go, well, this isn't as good as I thought it was. You know, there's these stories of the astronauts who go to the moon, right? They go all the way to the moon. They spend their time up there. They come home, shake the president's hand, and now what? And now what? Well, you've already gone to the moon and back. What else is there left to do in your life? And so
well, it's the same. It's the same as the person chasing the pop star chasing number one record. They get the number one record. They go, now what? Oh, get
now what?
One.
And that's a, and, so that's and a great
that, yeah. Or the, great or the author that has a best selling book.
One yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so you get to this place where you have to say, okay, so it's not the things that are going to make me happy. So when am I the most happy? When am I the most fulfilled? Mm-hmm. Well, if you've ever beaten a video game, you know that the most fun isn't at the very end of it. It's when you get to a new level, when you get to a different area of the map that maybe you were never on before, or you get this power that you've never had, and all of a sudden you're growing and you're doing new things. And so that is where fulfillment comes from. That's where growth and happiness comes from, by moving forward. So this is why it's so important that I'm constantly helping and chasing impact and chasing fulfillment, because that's what's growing me, which is ultimately making me happy.
So you were a man that liked a bit of drinking and enjoyed his drugs. And yeah. That was a good night for you at one stage.
Well, it was a night for me that would cover up a lot of the pain that I was feeling on the inside.
But it was supposed to be fun. It was supposed to be joy.
Supposed to be, yeah. There were definitely fun moments.
So what does fun look like for you now?
Yeah, well, so me and my wife, we just celebrated our first anniversary, which is amazing and exciting. I have more love for her now than we first started. I have a more of an understanding of her as a person than we first started. Yep. But I'll be honest with you, man, there were some moments in this first year that I asked myself this question, and did I make the biggest mistake of my life? did I really mess up here? But what I found is that that's how you get to actually learn who another human being is by being in these situations with them. And so now we are in this really beautiful place. We're in a really great place in our relationship, but it took a long time to be able to get there. And so spending time with her is a high priority to me. I want to start to break some of the generational curses that have been on my family. So being a really great husband is a high priority for me. Being someone who is caring and loving and wants to attend to her needs, but also understands that we're in this as a partnership together. So that's been really the last year of my life, but also too, I love to be able to help other people. So I spend time coaching and helping and seeing other people create their own comeback. I've gotten to speak at different conferences. I've gotten to go to different rehab and recovery centers and share my message. And so all of this is, that's fun for me. That's seeing other people set free. After I've been in the darkness, I have now the ability and I have the not just the ability, but the desire, the passion to see other people come out of that darkness.
What was your route out of the drugs? Because once that stuff gets a hold of you, it's quite hard to shake it. What was your route?
Well, so drugs it's the great equalizer, right? So it doesn't care how much money you've made. It doesn't care about the color of your skin, how good of a person that you are. When it gets a hold of your soul, it doesn't want to let go. And so for me, I was a very broken individual on the inside. So once I started to heal from that, that really helped me understand that I don't need to cover up the pain all of the time. But I tell people, I don't necessarily teach how to overcome drug addiction, because there's plenty of 12-step programs that can do it way better than I can. But getting off drugs for me was never the goal. It was the side effect of wanting more in my life. Mm-hmm. And so now that I have this vision that is so big, that's so compelling to me, I don't use drugs because it's pulling me away from that. It's slowing me down, and I can see it and I can taste it. And every right choice that I make gets me closer to that vision.
Yeah.
So I am compelled to stay away from this side of my life because I have so much more over here.
Did you go into the 12-step program?
Yeah, I worked the NA program. I did the step work and that was a great fellowship for me. But then I really found community in the church that I was going to. Mm-hmm. And I went through a 2-year leadership program that the church offered, which saw potential on the inside of me that pulled out skill sets and taught me how to lead people and taught me how to care and develop some consistency in my life and some discipline. And so I think that there is there's a process that needs to happen. And then there's also a community that you need. And really those two things go hand in hand. I mean, that's what the NA and AA programs are. It's a process, the 12 steps, but then it's also a community too. So having a process and a community will help you overcome whatever addiction that you're facing right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. You've got a great story, my friend, a great story. So what is contribution for you? It's my next question.
Yeah. So I have done a really great job. This book just launched and I'm super proud of where it's going right now. It's been able to get into the hands of people who really need it the most. And so I've started this Pay It Forward initiative where, people and organizations can partner with me to get this book into the hands of people who need it. So I travel to rehab and recovery centers and I'm able to actually give the book away for free. So I'll say to these guys and these gals, I'll say, this is not a gift from me. This is from somebody who believes in you that's never met you before. And it's cool because now these people get to be a part of somebody else's comeback story. And so I have this Pay It Forward initiative where I take these books into different facilities. And that's really the impact that I'm trying to make right now.
Fantastic. And what about the contribution to yourself?
Ooh, that's a great one. You know, I love spending time with me now. I love who I am because I'm proud of who I am. And so the contribution that I have to myself is a promise. This is the promise that I'm going to continue to grow as a human being. I'm going to continue to contribute as a human being. And so for me, as long as I'm contributing and as long as I'm growing, that is the invest. That's the best investment that I can make into me.
Wow. 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 You certainly are on a path. You know, if you look at if you just compare the two Nates from the previous to now, you have traveled a long, long way.
It's been a roller coaster ride, man. It's a beautiful place right now, but it's full of
how many years are we talking about? When was that car with that car escapade?
Yeah, 2017. So I mean, we're talking 5 years.
Away, is it only 5 years? You've done a long journey in 5 years. Well done.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
A lot of people would take a lot longer to get over that. You've moved a long way.
Well, there's a hunger that's inside of me. And I really think that's the fuel. So it's not just me anymore about how successful I can be, but this hunger comes from seeing other people set free also.
Yeah. So my friend, what is the one question that you like people to ask you?
I like people to ask me, can I change?
You can change. Can you change? Can you change the question? Yeah, of course you can.
and the answer is, well, here's the answer. Yes, absolutely. I believe that everything that you need inside of you is already there to change. You have the ability, you have the strength, you have the gift sets, you have the intelligence. I've got obsessed with this this idea. Why do some people, why are they successful at change and some people aren't? You'll see somebody who's, you've seen this before, somebody who's less smart than you, who's not as smart as you are, making better choices and moving forward faster in their life. And you ask yourself, man, is it luck? There's some people that get obsessed with this and say, I'm willing to do it even when it hurts. I'm willing to do it even when it doesn't make sense and when it's painful. And so if you can endure the pain, I've heard somebody say this, the level of pain that you're willing to endure is the level of growth that you're going to experience. And so can you change? The answer is yes, absolutely. I believe it, but it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you think. And so I just want to encourage you, be easy on yourself, believe in yourself, love yourself, because what you believe in you is the person that you're going to become.
Wow. You are fantastic for my social media one-liners. You've got loads of them.
You can have them all.
So look, tell me, this idea of change, I think, is really interesting. And I am constantly in search of that kind of unique switch. What is it that makes a conversation, the same conversation that two people might have or you might have with someone, whereas one causes change and one doesn't? So you could, if someone can say the same thing to an individual and it just goes over the head. And they, and then someone else says the same thing, almost the same words to that individual, and bang, it hits home and they go, yeah, I'll change. What's the difference?
Yeah, my wife does this to me all the time. I'll give her life-changing advice, and because it's coming from me, she doesn't want to hear it. Well, and we do that to the people that are oftentimes closest to us. But when we see something in somebody else that we want, oftentimes that will help us change. So if I want what he has, am I willing to do what he did? And so that's the question that you really have to start to ask yourself is am I willing to do what that person did to get the change in their life? And I would say this, The rule of thumb is I'm never going to take advice from somebody that I wouldn't want to switch places with, or I wouldn't want some aspect of their life. For example, I'm not taking financial advice from my broke uncle at the barbecue. I love you, uncle. You're great, but you've shown me what not to do. So I want the advice from somebody who can show me what to do. And so, yeah, it's really important that, am I willing to switch places with this person? Do I want what they have?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. So Nate, how do people get in touch with you, and what are you offering, and who would you like to talk to?
Yeah, so the book is available right now on Amazon. You can just search You'll Never Change, or you can go to the website youllneverchange.com. You can find me on Instagram at whoisnatedukes. But I would also just challenge and encourage you, if you want to be a part of somebody else's comeback story, would you partner with me and pay it forward for somebody else? Let me get this book in the hands of other people. So far, we've given away 329 books. I want to be able to get to 1,000 by the end of the year. So that's my goal, is to give away 1,000 books this year and 10,000 books next year.
That sounds like a great opportunity. So all of that information, all of those links will be on the podcast notes above, and they'll also be at the website Life, Passion and Business on the podcast. So do check out Nate's website and his book, because I think he is an amazing gentleman. He's certainly been a fantastic conversation for me. So look, winding us up, because clearly you have a relationship with the universal architect, by the sounds of it. You have you have a relationship there that, you know, a lot of people don't have. What would you say is the meaning of life for you? And does God come into that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I really feel like God's grace is on my life. Some people call it luck. Some people call it karma. I just choose to believe that God's hand is guiding me. And for me, my faith is really important to me, because when I was in control, I found a way to mess it up. But now that I feel like I'm being led and guided, and things are happening for a reason, on purpose, a bigger person, purpose that's bigger than me, it's like my life has made a completely different trajectory. It's made a completely different turn. It's moving in a different direction. And so I hold on to that. I lean into that for me. And so being a person of faith is super important, but also seeing people set free through whatever process they need to walk through. I'm not here to say that there's one perfect process. I think there's multiple ways to get to a destination. I just want to do the one that works. Whatever it is, let's just get it to work.
Perfect. Yeah. You know, every answer here is right. That's the beauty of this podcast. There ain't right or wrong answer to it. Everyone has their own. And that is the point. Everyone has to come to a decision in themselves, what it means to them, what it's for.
Yeah.
And that's one of the overriding factors I get from this podcast is, you know, on some sense, life has no meaning whatsoever other than the meaning that you choose to give it.
The meaning we assign it. Yeah. And so if you're constantly looking for things to be terrible and hurt and pain and brokenness, you will find it.
Yeah.
But if you look for the beauty and the contribution and the love, which is a choice, we get to choose what we look for, you will find that as well.
And, you know, in some ways, you know, God gives you what you need, because he'll give you both. You can, whatever that is, you know, and I don't know the answer. I just, you know, one day I'll be able, one day we'll be able to discuss this, won't we?
Absolutely. We'll be able to figure it out.
When we're gone, we can discuss it together.
That's right.
Look, my friend, this has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to explore it with me.
Paul, I love the show, man. Thank you so much for letting me be here. What you're doing is incredible.
Thank you, Nate. So all the best, and we'll catch up at some point, hopefully. All the best.
Yep, thank you.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Nate Jukes. The book, You Will Never Change, is available on Amazon, but it is also available from Nate's website, which is youwillneverchange.com. Also, as mentioned on the show, there is that option to pay it forward, and the link for that is youwillneverchange.com/payitforward. You can also find Nate on Instagram and on Facebook. Now, all those links will be available at the website lifepassionandbusiness.com and on the podcast app. And that is it for this week. Do check out the website Life, Passion and Business, particularly the resources tab, as there are all sorts of things there to help you, particularly focus coaching.
It is an amazing process that gets you to where you want to go. Do check out those links available at the resources tab on lifepassionandbusiness.com. If you've enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoy any podcast, as I say every week, please support your content creators with likes, shares, and reviews, because that's how this ecosystem works. The momentum that you provide helps other people find other podcasts. And that's it from me. So thank you for your time and attention, and I'll catch you later. All the best.